Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it's Damian. Welcome back to Marketing Food Online podcast. I'm super excited. I've got a really informative podcast today. And it's in regards to getting your product into either like a Whole Foods, a Fresh Market, or a local retailer. I'm going to give you a couple of tips and pointers that helped me get into a Fresh Market here in the local area that I'm in. And I'm going to give you some explanation on kind of how it works and what I would recommend you do. So let's get the podcast started. All right. So how do you go about getting your product into a retailer if you've never done it before? How does that actually work? And then what would you need to do to make that happen if you've never experienced it or you're just not familiar with the process? So I had an email from a subscriber of mine actually on YouTube that was curious to know, wanted to get a product in a local retailer. So this is exactly – I'm going to explain to you exactly what I did. And then I would definitely take some notes and then incorporate the best method to deliver it yourself as far as what I'm about to tell you. So the company that I was going into was actually Fresh Market. Fresh Market, if you're not familiar with Fresh Market, it is similar to Whole Foods. It's a health food kind of a store. They carry a lot of grocery items and standard pantry items and such, but it's kind of a unique store. And they're actually a great company to work with as far as being a vendor. So how did I do it? Well, I basically figured out the best way to do it is to go to the store and befriend or create a relationship with the store manager. At first, what I did is I physically went to the store, asked for the store manager. I introduced myself, shook his hand, and explained to him who I was and what I was looking to do. At this point, I didn't bring a sample. I didn't bring any of that stuff. I simply just wanted to ask a question about how do I get a product in your store? And super, super helpful and very, very nice, gave me a corporate buyer's number. So from there, what I did was is I called the corporate office, and how it works with Fresh Market, and of course Whole Foods and other companies actually work pretty similar to this, but how it works with Fresh Market is I went ahead and spoke with their regional buyer, and their regional buyers are actually in charge of just a segment or a section of the country, like a southeast region or northeast or central, you know, in the middle of the country or west, the western part of the country, northwest and such. So the companies break up their buyers into those regional areas, and here's the reason why. When you introduce a product at first, when you're starting out and you're relatively small, you honestly can't take on 800 to 1,000 stores right off the top. That's just not how it works. Plus, certain products sell better in certain areas of the country. Not everything, believe it or not, if you're not aware of this, not everything you see at your local, let's say Whole Foods or Fresh Market, is actually identical to what you see in one in California. If you know, if you live in Georgia or if you live in New York, there's different items because they just sell better regionally. That's just how it works. And actually every retailer is like that, Home Depot and Lowe's. And, you know, if it's not just food, everybody works that way. So what they'll do is they'll rely on the regional buyer to bring in at a low scale a new product, and they're not sure if it's going to sell yet. So they're going to say, look, I'm going to give you 5 local stores, but here is the stipulation. Here is some things to think about. You're a new product, so I need you to demo it. You need to demonstrate your product, and I'm going to give you 5 stores, and I need you to demo it on the weekends. So between the span of a couple of months, I need you to work into your schedule on Saturday or Sunday or both days. You need to go to the store. You need to schedule with the store manager. When is a good time to demo? Because you got to understand there's a lot of other companies that are demoing their products, and you need to organize that and fix that and get it set for that specific store with that specific store manager, okay? And you can demo it for like an hour. Normally he'll say, hey, you know what? I'll give you an hour, I'll give you a couple hours, no problem. So what you do is you set up a table, you take your product, you need to bring enough product to sample that you're going to give out completely free, and then you need to bring a lot of product that's packaged that you want to sell. Because if you have a customer sample your product and they love it, well, they're going to want to buy it on the spot. So you set up your table. Fresh Market had us, my wife and I actually, the two of us, my wife and I set up the tables every weekend. We would go into these eight stores and set up a table, put a tablecloth, you know, business cards, everything you need to promote yourself. And you have to be outgoing. So if you're the kind of person that's not necessarily willing to set up a table and talk to people and promote your stuff, you're not that passionate about it, I wouldn't recommend going this route. Like I said, there's a lot of other ways to sell your product, and you can do it online where you're not having to sample it and such. But if you want to really get into retail stores and you want to get locally and start small, this is what they're going to have you do. So we set up a table. We bring in maybe three or four dozen pounds of a product. Bring in a few pounds of the product, and then we would bring a few dozen bags to sell of the candy that we were making. So we sample it out, and we demo it a couple hours, and we go to the next store. So usually we'd do about two or three stores on a Saturday and maybe two or three stores on a Sunday. So we actually had eight, if I'm not mistaken. It was eight stores. This was a couple years ago. So that's how they started. And then what happens is the buyer would begin to track your products through the barcode and see how it sells. So then the buyer would actually call you and say, look, I'm going to place an order. I need store this, store A, B, and C. All of them have to have two cases of each flavor. And then they place an order and they pay you. So that's kind of a most simplistic way of how it worked with us. From my own example, my own experience, that's how it worked with our candy product. Now, many stores may operate differently, slightly a little bit different in regards to having you promote it. Maybe they require you to be there every weekend or at one store for Saturday and Sunday. You know, it's really dependent upon the company itself and how they operate. But in a nutshell, that's how you begin to get your feet wet, and you get your feet in the front door to try to begin to take on more stores, okay? If you've got eight stores and your product's selling well and the buyer sees over the span of maybe five or six months, they're like, wow, this product is great. Can you do more stores, or can you take on more? And then from there, you need to figure out, you know, can you or can you not? I would highly recommend you be honest with yourself, which in turn be honest with the buyer. Because if they say, look, can you take on 100 stores? You say yes, and then you've got issues with, you know, filling up 20 stores, and you've got 80 stores that are still pending, and you can't fill them, well, then that's going to be a problem. Just, you know, you got to understand that you got to be prepared to understand how to scale the business and how to make it larger and how to produce more of your product. So keep that in mind, and that's your objective. Obviously, you don't want to have eight stores. You want to have 800. So, but you got to figure out how does your product made? Can you get a co-packer to make it? You know, can you produce it? If you're not, maybe you have your own facility. Maybe you're doing it yourself, and that's perfectly fine too. Can you sustain that much growth? So keep in mind all of these factors, okay? Also, if you have a product that's a refrigerated product, let's say some type of butter spread, you know, and it's flavored or what have you, and you've got a product that has to be maintained at a temperature, it could be a little more tricky trying to get a product sampled that way. Of course, you know, if you had butter sitting out on a table all day and you're sampling it on bread or crackers, it could be a little bit of a challenge. So keep in mind, you know, if you're doing frozen food, obviously, you know, it may be a little more difficult because you have to set up a microwave, you know, heat up your frozen food dinner, have them there available, show them where they're at in the freezer case. You know, it's temperature sensitive. So just keep all these things in mind. You know, depending on the type of product, if you have a trail mix, hey, you're good to go. If you have nuts, you're good to go. Potato chips, snacks, some type of chocolate bar. See, these things are not time or heat sensitive or temperature sensitive. So they're a lot easier to demo, and they're a lot easier to sell. So do keep that in mind. So that would be basically, to be honest with you, the most simplistic way. Actually, one other thing I was going to mention to you, now that Amazon actually owns Whole Foods, They are redoing a lot of their requirements for vendors. They're reevaluating their relationships with vendors. So keep this in mind. Whole Foods is operating at a much different type of operation now from what I've seen online, the resources I've been reading. They may require a certain type of a procedure to get your product in Whole Foods now because Amazon owns it. They will probably end up operating it completely different than the way it was before, and that's fine. Just be aware of that. But there is a tremendous amount also of independently owned grocery stores and independently owned stores that in general are much easier to get your feet in the door with as opposed to a lot of these big national chains, because many of them have this is something that you may not be aware of. When your facility needs to fall in line with the requirements for some of these national chains, many of them require a third-party inspection. Okay, and let me explain what that is. That is done by an independent company who will come in and they're going to charge you a minimum of about $2,000 or more to come in and evaluate numerous standards that you need to have in place in your facility, from production to cleanliness to safety to security. All of this stuff will be evaluated, and this independent evaluation will cost you as a company money before you can even submit a product to people like the Walmarts of the world or Target. Or if it's Kroger, any of these big, big companies, they all are on board with the same type of inspection. It is not going to be only valid with a Department of Agriculture inspection, but they will have a third-party independent inspection done of your facility. So keep this in mind. When you're dealing with mom-and-pop grocers, they set their own procedures and policies, and many of them that are locally owned, let's say they have, again, four or five stores, and it's, you know, Jim and Susie's grocery store, and they love your product, they may bring it in and not have to have all that. Department of Agriculture inspection or a health department inspection would be sufficient. So keep this in mind. When you're dealing with the big boys, there are a lot of other inspections and investments that need to be made before you even get your product to be looked at, okay? That's not guaranteeing that it's going to be on the shelves. That is just to have it examined, if you will, to see if it's something that's a good fit for them. So be aware of the investment that may be required just to have it looked at, okay? All right, so I'm going to keep this podcast as I always do, keep it short and sweet. I hope this information was helpful. If it was, please do give me some feedback. I appreciate it. If you're looking for some more one-on-one consulting with me directly, my email consulting is one of our best values. It's $12.99 a month, and it's easy to sign up. It's on a reoccurring payment program, and that will actually reoccur every month, so that way you can continue each month after month working with me directly, and I'll help you get your food product either on retail shelves or help you develop an online presence through a e-commerce store. So I appreciate you guys listening, and thank you again for the support. And again, check out my YouTube channel. If you haven't seen that, it's actually go to YouTube and in the search box, type in marketing food online and our channel will pop up. And I have over 200, we actually have nearly 300 now, 280 or so, 270 videos, and they are loaded with a lot of free information. Thank you guys, and I hope you have a fantastic day.